about.
Now I have an AT-40 Extra, a number two smash called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the song in which singer Gordon Lightfoot told the true story of 29 men who drowned in a storm on Lake Superior back in 1975.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
We don't know whether the 729-foot ore carrier, the Edmund Fitzgerald, broke in half, capsized, or nosedived into Lake Superior, but its disappearance last night was sudden. There wasn't even a mayday or even an SOS. The boat was on radar surveillance for 10 minutes by an accompanying boat, but about 7:30 last night it vanished. Winds were gusting up to 80 miles an hour, and waves were swelling to 25 and 40 feet on the lake. The Edmund Fitzgerald is at the bottom. And there's no doubt about that. The search helicopters have already found considerable debris.
And now,
I don't even know what the Edmund Fitzgerald is.
Bean, who the hell is Edmund Fitzgerald?
Bean, you're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, f***ing freak.
Our feature presentation.
Not everyone is in love with the shipwreck.
No.
Oh.
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Finally, the day we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, I'm not on the phone, Kevin.
Kevin, it won't help. I'm not on the phone.
No, not playing this song. Nope.
40th anniversary.
Nope.
Of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
Let me tell you what let me tell you how I got burned. Is that I've been, of course, I've been to the Whitefish Bay. I've been to the Great Lake Shipwreck Museum. I've seen the bell with my own eyes. I've done all that. But I've never gone this time of year. I've never gone, you know, for the anniversary. And I'm such a dumbass because this year, 40th anniversary, big doings going on, including who stops by the Shipwreck Museum last night?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Shipping true was a bone to be chewed when the gale.
This song, by the way, is part of my problem. This song is the worst, most repetitive POS alive.
Well,
it's crazy.
Good that it's not half an hour.
It's a half an hour.
First of all, it's my favorite song of all time.
Right.
But
that sounds really dull.
Second of all, isn't this song part of the reason why the Edmund Fitzgerald, the legend of the ship, has survived 40 years? Why so many people know about it? Because this song exists. This was a brilliant tribute to a very sad historical event.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this song isn't just...
Have you ever
1,000 times?
Have you ever listened to the words?
No, it's a crap fest of a song.
It's not. How could
Plus,
you say
I don't
that?
I love old shipwrecks where people die. That's not what I'm looking for.
How are you? How are you judging that it's a terrible song?
It's
if you've
a
never
terrible
even listened
song.
To the
song. It has shut up.
It has so much
Holy
detail.
Crap!
It has so much detail. So many true facts.
Shut your mouth.
In the song.
Hey, Kevin, want to try?
What was that?
Sorry, it was a mistake. Go ahead.
November came slashing.
Look, we're almost a quarter way through the song here. There's no.
Hey, how about a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up?
Yeah, we're not going to play the whole song. We're not gonna.
I'm just saying, if I'd have been there last night, man.
Bean tweeted last night to everybody interested in the wreck.
Right?
So not only does he think someone else is interested, but it's shorthand. It's the wreck.
Wow.
Just the wreck now.
It's the only wreck that matters. Look, there are more than 20... Oh, here's my favorite part.
Yeah. So different.
Fellas, it's too rough to feed you.
Will you shut up?
There are more than 20 books that have been written about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, by the way.
That's
so
great.
My point is, clearly, I'm not the only one who's interested.
All right, let me ask you that a different way then. Are you the only one that is a part of this show or listening to this show or would ever listen to this show in a million years that is interested in that? The answer is no.
Oh, listen to this. Went out of sight in the wreck of
the
Edmund Fitzgerald.
You know,
yeah, I think
you
can stop.
The same as the last verse.
You know how we sometimes, Kevin, we say, I wish I had a meter. I wish there was some sort of a gauge where we could tell like what we're talking about and how the audience is, like what percentage of the audience right now
is screaming at the radio?
In this topic. Well, I prefer to think is captivated by every word.
They're not screaming at the radio because they've moved on to something else.
It off.
Yes.
Good point.
Yeah, right now, whatever big boy's doing is sounding pretty good.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to say right now, And I'm being honest now. I'm being real. Oh, hold on.
Stop. Stop watching. What's happening? This is such a crappy song.
Dude, they'd have made.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish
Shut
Bay.
Your mouth.
If they put 15 more miles behind her. So, honestly, percentage of Kevin and Bean listeners right now listening to this who are interested in this topic.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be completely fair and honest.
All right.
94%.
So, you're bad at math?
I'm going to be perfectly honest here. It's one person. Not even a percent. Just one person. And unfortunately, he's inflicting this crap fest song on us. Look, it's
no mask.
It's one day
no
a
mask.
Year we could pay tribute
to no mask.
Captain McSorley
no mask.
And the brave
well,
crew.
Well, Captain McSorley did a pretty crappy job.
He was no mask. McSorley. There are a lot of
no mask.
There are a lot of theories.
No mask.
Why the
no
ship,
mask.
The ship sank.
No mask.
None of them were the
no
captain's
mask.
Fault.
Bean, let me ask you a question. You regret not going to the site on its 40th anniversary.
You could leave right now.
Do you think it would be a party atmosphere? Do you think it would be somber? What do you think the people would be doing right now?
Of course it would be somber. There'd be candles and speeches and remembrances.
That sounds so fun.
But there were family members. By the way, this song is still going.
I know. That's my point.
They're family members of the ship, though, that were actually there to meet with Gordon Lightfoot last night, which I think would have been kind of emotional and special to see that.
And that's when he handed them a check for everyone that has ever bought this single, that album, and said, here, it's for you.
Gordon Lightfoot has done more for the memory of those men than anyone ever.
Right, but no
He's
one cares.
All sorts of... Oh, listen.
I'm going to tell you like this. If you don't shut your ass up, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Aren't you at this point fascinated to see how much longer
shut
this
your mouth
go?
And shut it and shut up and shut up!
No, I know how long and repetitive this song is. That's why I hate it.
Did you ever have to play this song on the radio back when you were playing oldies?
Really? No, you know why? Because even old people don't want to hear this.
But this is a summer fun party jam.
Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean. Shut Bean up. Bean, shut up. Moron. No mask. No mask.
All right, we can move on.
This is a song as a DJ you'd play if you had to poop and you just wanted some extra time.
And run to the store.
Run to the store, maybe do a Habitat for Humanity home.
Yeah. Hey, you're still playing the song?
I know. We can move on, but we'll get back to this later.
We can't move on if you keep playing the song.
All right, let me fade it out here. We got a lot of other things planned that we're going to obviously do to commemorate the Fitz 40 anniversary today on the Kevin and Bean.
The what?
I don't think we do.
Fitz 40. That's the hashtag.
Why? Is it a hashtag?
Wait, why?
Is it trending?
What's Fitz 40 mean?
It's
Fitzgerald?
40th anniversary of the Edmund Fitzgerald sinking. Yeah, it's the Fitz 40. Yeah, that's the hashtag. Allie, look it up. It's not just me, man. Get with the program.
Wouldn't you like, you know how you were just talking about having that way of measuring who's interested? Mm-hmm. I would like to see the people who are interested. I would like to see their faces.
I bet.
Because they're all 80 and above, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're messed up. For some reason, they still celebrate this day.
You know what? It is trending right under Trick Daddy. So.
All right.
I don't know what Trick Daddy did.
He was the cook on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Pretty hip name for a cook.
I know. Especially for 1975.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
You don't care about that.
Man, oh man. Just breaking my spirit first thing.
Right.
This morning on the program, we have Ed Westwick talking Wicked City.
Mm-hmm. Kevin's Wicked City.
Kevin's. Mm-hmm. Well, that is what it's known to those of us in the know. Because I did one line as a DJ, and I did it poorly. We also are going to talk about my raccoon problem. Ooh. The struggle is real, my friends.
Yeah, I didn't know it was this serious.
It's going on.
Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah.
And it's not going to end well for the raccoons.
Or
That's
you.
All I'm saying.
Oh, or you.
I'll be fine. No,
we don't know yet how it's going to play out.
I'll be perfectly fine. And if he doesn't hear any of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald nonsense, Chris Martin is supposed to come here. Right?
Yeah.
Allie, have you met Chris yet?
I have not, but I have heard from every single person in here that he's charming, funny, and charismatic, and I cannot wait.
So wouldn't it suck if he heard the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Oh, he's
canceled,
not coming.
Right?
Yeah.
You will fall very deeply in love with Chris Martin when you meet him today.
Great.
As we all have.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Anyway, we just heard Dave Davies of the Kinks.
That was not
from his solo album.
Nope.
Ripping It Up Time.
Yep.
What's
that
it called?
Called Front Room.
Ripping It Up Time.
And Dave Davies did an amazing show at the Roxy. Where Mark Hamill was there.
What?
From,
what?
Star Wars. Yeah. Tony Valentino.
Tony Valentino?
Tony Valentino met Dave Davies. It's like two of the Riff Kings meeting each other.
Right.
Yeah, the Kings.
Tony Valentino.
Tony Valentino.
And Dave Davies from the
that.
Kinks.
Did
Tony Valentino.
Was Mark
from
Hamill
Standells.
There?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, Front Room, that was called.
Okay.
Then before that, all we heard The Moon Landings.
Rip It Up Time.
Of course, that's John and Yoko's son,
Sean.
Lennon.
Lennon,
that was
yes.
called Sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
Satan Mine.
Oh, Satan Mine.
The Moon Landings ends with a Z.
All right, so we're all caught up
but
with
who's
the...
coming up next?
Music.
Wait a minute. I want to hear what Ryan is going to play
incomplete.
Next. What's the
anyway,
next song?
I got more music and things to play coming
right,
up
good.
Right after the Monkees.
Yeah, there it is.
That's what I'm talking about.
How much actual Monkees must get played on Rodney's show?
More than is played at Mickey Dolenz' house.
Yep, seems like a lot. Yeah. All right, Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of music, let's kick off the showbiz news with that.
With music?
Well, with music news.
Okay.
Chester Bennington has announced he is leaving the Stone Temple Pilots. It was sort of a part-time gig anyway, but he has announced he is going to stick with his other band, Linkin Park, as their frontman. Chester did replace Scott Weiland in 2013 and recorded one EP with the band as well as tour with them. So this leaves STP with a question. What do they do for a lead singer? No word on whether or not they will perform a search, trying to find someone to take over as the frontman, but they were on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night as part of Monday Mashups. You know, he does this series where he takes artists and puts them together in a band. And
they do it live. It's great.
Joss Stone took over the mic for STP. So it became Joss Stone Temple Pilots.
See? What they did with her?
I love that Joss Stone, by the way.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
Hey, here's a, excuse me, here's a residency, a musical residency in Vegas that I can get behind. I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm going to go see this. And unlike Bean, when I say I'm going to go see something,
oh yeah,
I usually actually do it.
We all assume that when you say that, you're going to actually do it.
The odds are high that if I say I'm going to go do this, that I will end up doing it.
Right.
Right. Billy Idol. How about Billy Idol in Vegas?
That'd be pretty good.
Let me tell you a little something about Billy Idol. When I say that name, you may say, 80s, whatever. This guy.
So many hits.
So many hits, but still crushes it.
He does live, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is ageless. He refuses to get any older. And he's an amazingly energetic performer, and he's still got the voice, and he is a good time live. And this is a great show to see in Vegas, I think. It's going to be at the Vegas House of Blues inside the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. He has booked 12 dates so far in 2016, in March through March and May. So if you're going to be in Vegas sometime then, you may want to check out Billy Idol.
By the way, it's amazing how good he looks, Ralph.
Yes.
He turned 60 this month.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Wow.
I didn't look that good at 20. And this is a guy who is not taking care of himself.
He's not been kind to his body, if that's what you're saying.
He's not juicing.
He's not eating a lot of kale and doing the hot yoga. You know what I'm saying?
It's mostly heroin and motorcycle accidents.
Right. It's mostly hitting brick walls at 50 miles an hour with a syringe dangling out of your arm. That was his lifestyle for the majority of his life. Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch, Billy Idol. I'll kick your ass. I don't know why I'm so angry at him. I'm going to stick with the music news because there's some really interesting stuff.
All right.
Opening act for Madonna in Berlin tonight. Opening act. If I gave you 100 guesses, you'd never come up with this name.
Hanson.
That's a good guess. Hmm. Idris Elba.
What?
What?
That's right. You heard me.
The actor? He's a DJ, right?
Yes, Ally McKay. Oh. Points.
Thank you.
He's a club DJ.
You know that?
He's going to take the stage before Madonna does at the Mercedes-Benz Arena there in Berlin.
That's pretty strong.
And he's going to be playing his set before she comes on.
Bean, you were a club DJ, weren't you?
No, seriously. I mean, yeah, technically, I guess I was.
Can
Wait, like, at actual clubs?
Imagine. Yeah.
That people went to?
That was a different time. It was a different kind of club DJ.
Yeah.
He didn't put his hands into the air like he just didn't care.
Right. It wasn't anything like the way DJs work today.
Maybe we could find some tape at some point of you.
I just dropped a needle on Shake Your Groove thing and sat back. I mean, that was all I had to do.
Hey, it's time to cut the cake, everybody. That was pretty much the extent of his patter.
And then...
Right.
Oh, no. I had a regular place that I worked every weekend. People would come to see me.
What was
no,
the club?
No, they did not come to see you.
Well, I mean, they came
they
to the
came
club,
to
and,
they
I,
came
and
to
I was
the
there.
They came to dance and
but
drink.
But, I mean, I kept the job for a long time, so I was clearly playing music that appealed to the clientele.
Where was this?
Hey, everybody, raise your drinks in the air. Here we go. People all went and they all fell down, and the water came over the barrels. People are hanging themselves on the dance floor.
Back where I grew up in Maryland, Allie. Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah. It was legit.
Yeah.
It's too legit, I'm guessing. How are we supposed to take Bean's word on anything when he claims his memory is so shaky? But, club days, those cut right
through
the fog.
That one stuck in my mind
they?
Because I thought, wow, can you imagine having Bean DJ an event? First of all, he wouldn't stop talking.
That's true.
Second of all, when he did, he'd put on the record of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Right. Wow. This thing up?
Yeah.
I think Bean passed out again.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Good. I'm just wondering how long it's going to take till Kevin unearths the tape.
Oh, yeah. It'll
I'll probably
be able to find it.
I think the K-Rock microphones were there. As soon as me and Omar can get in the room together for a minute.
I'm already envisioning. Oh, what a surprise. This tape just surfaced. You guys were just talking about this, here's a tape we haven't heard in decades.
An extensive search the internet, we came up with this little gem.
Oh, dear God.
All right. One more piece of music news, and then we'll get to birthdays. Prince, Kevin's favorite. Kevin loves nothing better than to get to a theater and wait for 4 or 5 hours for Prince to show up.
He's an amazing performer, but I've had that happen to me once where we showed up and he didn't come on for like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And then his guy came out on stage and said, all right, Prince is on the phone, but he's not feeling so well. So if you want him to come out, I was like, it's 4 hours later. Come out. And so then he came out that time. And then I went to the forum and just didn't even open the doors. The forum didn't open the doors because he just had canceled.
Really?
Opted out.
Just before door opening time.
No.
He was all, nah.
I went to 6 of those shows. Perfect.
Prince there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's me.
It might be you.
Hmm. Sure, you want to see the right Prince, Kevin?
I'm very sure I did.
You want to see Prince Harry or something? Maybe you're confused.
I've seen him like 5 times. Puts on a great show.
Did you go to Port-au-Prince?
In Haiti?
In Haiti, by accident? Were you confused about which Prince?
I'm pretty sure that it wasn't Haiti.
Was it Prince Philip?
No.
Oh, right.
No, I know Prince.
Right. He is going to do a new tour. Here's the upcoming tour. Prince, a piano, and a microphone. That is it.
I'm in.
No band, no guitar, no pyrotechnics, no let's get crazy, just him sitting at a piano singing.
I mean, on the one hand, you go, wow, what a waste of a great guitar player to not use that instrument. On the other hand, it's just a completely different experience. It's also going to be very satisfying, I think.
Why do this now, he asks in the press release, for several reasons. For starters, it's a challenge. I rarely get bad reviews because this is something that's been perfected for over 30 years. So you have to try new things. With the piano, it's more naked, more pure. You can see exactly what you get. Plus, it's easier for me to cancel, he said. I could just not show up and not play piano. No, he didn't say that. The dates and venues will be announced soon. But Kevin, here's your chance. Here's a make good for you and Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Give your love another try.
Is the opening act DJ Spinal Bifida? Is that him? Is he going to come out?
Before his paperless takes the stage, I'm going to mix some of my favorite tunes. And people all died and they all drowned and died and they're dead and they won't be a living. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan! Gonna get everybody pregnant. 47 years old today. Ellen Pompeo, 46 years old. Warren G., 45 years old. Diplo, 37. Eve, 37. Miranda Lambert, oh, she's gotta be sad these days, right? Miranda Lambert.
I don't know.
That's the wife, ex-wife of Blake Shelton. She's,
okay.
She's not watching The Voice, I'm guessing.
Mm.
White meat, dark meat.
Josh Peck is 29. And a special salute to our listeners, former and current members of the United States Marine Corps, the finest fighting fights in the... finest fighting force in the world. Semper Fi! Hoorah! It's the Marine's birthday today, 11-10-15. 240th birthday of the United States Marine Corps, so we salute you and thank you for your service. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
She was 99% done. That's my point.
Nope.
maybe even more.
Hold that thought. We're opening up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you love the band Coldplay, they're going to be playing the Belasco Theater in L.A. this Friday night. It's a Q-Rock only show. You can be there in person, but you're going to have to earn them. We'll give you a chance to win your way in. If you're a Coldplay fan, you know their music. Call now 1-800-520-1067. All right. We're talking about Lake Bell, right?
Yep.
Jesse Lulu writes to me, hey, did Kevin just hang up on somebody again? Yes, Jesse, that's exactly what happened. Is that once again, Kevin is in too much of a goddamn hurry to let somebody say goodbye.
What I love it? Lake Bell.
What?
What is it?
Like to keep things tight. Run a tight ship.
That's what you're famous
right.
for.
It's me.
That's the dedication to the craft that you
Thank
demonstrate
you,
every minute of every day of this
Thank
show.
Thank you. I didn't know you realized. Thank you.
She's Lake Bell.
She is Lake Bell, and I love her.
I want to keep her on the phone as long as I can keep her on the phone.
Right, but we had said goodbye, and then she said thank you or something that sounded like goodbye, right?
Well, I mean, she...
So at that point, you're not going to keep her on and talk more?
We don't know what she was going to say. She was clearly starting a new thought. Do we have the tape? Can we go back and hear the tape of Lake Bell at the end of that call? Always great to have you on the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks. She said, thank you.
No.
Which is a complete thought. And
until
also
her
a
next
goodbye.
Word, which was a beat later that you could have just let go because she was offering you a role on Children's Hospital. Have a role for you.
Wouldn't that have
right?
been the best thing
right?
ever?
Well, we'll never know because she'll never come on again.
Have you seen my boobs? Let me send you a photo. You don't know, man.
Come on, Kevin.
Always Seriously. Great to have you on the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Have my baby, Kevin.
Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
I feel like this isn't the first time you've been in a hurry to get a star off the phone
well,
to go do God knows what.
I like it to run a tight ship, Bean. I'm telling you. It's important that we keep things moving.
I'm saying you're getting a little bit of a reputation, though, at this point as being the guy who hangs up on the celebrities. And I don't know that's the reputation we want to carve out on this program.
I'll tell you for myself, it's not at all what I want.
No. Yeah, you keep doing it.
But you would be surprised by my behavior then because I did sort of hang up on her. But she was pretty much done.
We'll never know.
I mean, pretty much. Chip, what are you going to do there? You want to pick one of the others so that I can play it? How about that?
So, tell me about that tight ship you're running.
I was ready to play the Omar song, and I looked over, and Chip's just like, typing in stuff. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, let's blame it on Chip.
Omar has a song about me hanging up on people. It's really funny. Listen up.
I just can't stop hanging up on you.
Follow Miss Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. I listen to
Serena Hall Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
And I know you can be a celebrity or just an average Joe. And you bet Kevin's hanging up on you. He just hung up.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great
day. You could be Brooke Shields or Bono. You can be Megan Fox or Sir Paul.
And it's always fun to catch up with you on the Kevin Beach Show. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, man, thank you very much. I look forward to you to see the film. So I think it's out on the film. I really do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kevin.
I just can't stop hanging up on you. Because I love it.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Make it a day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Oops.
Well,
he was saying goodbye. In my defense, he was saying goodbye.
Oh. Right. Or was he? Chris Martin from the band Coldplay flew in from London last night. He'll be with us this morning at 9 o'clock on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about all things Coldplay, the new album coming out on December the 4th, the big private K-Rock show with Coldplay at the Belasco Theater this Friday night. You cannot buy your tickets, but you can win your way in right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Pick It on Coldplay. Sounds like an awful idea.
Yes, it does.
Why would you take already excellent Coldplay songs and re-record them as bluegrass numbers?
I don't know. We found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and it's every single type of music does some kind of weird instrumental coverage. But this, holy crap!
Love it,
picking and grinning.
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
I think you
was. Yes, I was. Okay. Yes, right. I was.
So here's the way the game is played. We'll get you on the line. We'll play a Coldplay song as re-recorded by a bluegrass band. All you have to do is identify the song by title. If you're right, you go into the drawing. You're one step closer to winning your way into the private show this Friday night. Now, are we playing it once or playing it twice for folks on the phone?
We are playing it once.
One time. All right, let's meet our first contestant. Who's up?
It is Inez. Hi there.
Hi.
In Kenyan country. You ready for your song?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's a Coldplay song done in bluegrass style. Tell us what this is.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What's that called, know. Inez?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh! Closing
walls and ticking clocks. Yeah, it was clocks. Thank you for
clocks
playing.
Clocks is what we're looking for. All right. I thought that one was easy-ish.
Yeah,
but
might be the easiest.
Okay.
That's good news.
No offense.
Let's go to Hazel in Los Angeles. Hi, Hazel.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to Pick It on Coldplay. You ready?
Yes.
What is this song?
Why does that exist?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible.
In my place?
In my place!
Oh, nice. In my
place. Those two songs sounded nothing alike.
I didn't know.
Congratulations.
Well,
you hold on. All right. We got one. Good. Let's go to Enrique in Garden Grove. Hi there.
Hello.
All right. You ready for your song?
Are we interrupting anything, Enrique? Are you cool?
No,
you with us?
No.
All right. Here you go. That sounded like it was poorly played by them.
Yellow?
Nice. It was called Yellow. Well done.
By the way, please hold on, Enrique. You're in the drawing. When Chris Martin shows up later, let's play a couple of these for him. I'd love to get his reaction as the guy who wrote and sang the songs to hear these versions.
I'd like to see if he can identify them. All right, let's go to Ben in Northridge. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, guys.
How have you been doing on hold?
I've been doing good. Doing good. Just waiting.
All right. Here's your song, Pick It on Coldplay.
I hope someone's alarm was going off as that song was played. What do you think, Ben?
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm looking at the answer and I'm saying wow.
Goodness gracious.
Song title, please.
Love Paradise.
Trouble.
Wow.
That was trouble.
Really? Right? Hey, Ben, how old are you, by the way, man?
I'm 22.
I love that you're using goodness gracious at 22 years old. I love that.
You're Beans people.
That's right. I'll see you at Denny's at 4 p.m. for dinner, man. All right, let's do one more. What do you think? Should we try our boy John in San Gabriel?
I think John can do it. Hey, John.
Morning.
You ready for picking on Coldplay?
I am ready.
Good luck.
Kind of sounds familiar. What do you think there, John?
Russell Blood to the head?
No.
I'm sorry. That was Shiver.
You want to try another one?
Yeah, let's do, because
I hate to go out on a loser, that's all.
Right.
Not that John's a loser, but he did lose.
Lauren in Ontario, hi.
Hi.
All right, you ready for your Coldplay song?
I am. Let's do it.
Identify this.
The scientist.
That is the scientist. Questions of science. That was actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
You hold on, please.
But still heinous, though.
Oh, yeah, right?
It still has no reason to exist. Yeah. All right, Lauren, well done. You're in the drawing. Enrique as well. Hazel, too. Only one will win tickets for the Blasco Theater, the private K-Rock only show with Coldplay. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please? Well,
she's glad we went to her last. Lauren is the winner.
Lauren! Congratulations, Lauren.
Oh, my gosh.
You won so tickets. Fun. Have fun at the show. Thanks for playing the game. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Actor Ed Westwick joins us later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is on ABC's Wicked City, Don't You Know? Also, Kevin versus the Raccoons coming up in a minute. But first, Rob's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, before I get to the showbiz news, how about a little something for your trouble?
Okay.
For coming by and tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show, let's give you a little reward. This is a movie I am looking forward to tremendously. First of all, I'm already a big fan of the story. It's the true story of two identical twin gangsters in London's East End during the 1960s. Very cool story about a pair of brothers known as the Crays, Reggie and Ronnie Cray. They were a brutal crime gang back in London in the 60s, and a fascinating story about their relationship as well as the ongoings of their organization. Originally, I learned about the story in a movie starring the Kemp brothers from Spandau Ballet, believe it or not, called The Craze. It was about that story. Did a great job, but this looks even better. Tom Hardy plays both identical twin gangsters, Reggie and Ronnie Cray. Emily Browning, who I love, is also in this. Taron Egerton from Kingsman. It's in theaters everywhere on November the 20th. However, we're having a very special K-Rock advance screening of the movie called Legend at the Arclight Hollywood on Tuesday, November the 17th. If you'd like to attend, why don't you give me a call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through to Beer Mug. I'm sorry about that, but he's the one who's going to be answering the phone. Nothing I can do about it. You will get a pair of passes to attend the K-Rock advance screening of Legend. Sad news this morning. Well, bittersweet, I guess. You may remember, we talked about his story, Daniel Fleetwood, the 32-year-old Texas native, who was suffering from spindle cell sarcoma cancer. He was given 2 months to live back in July, but he held on. One of the reasons he held on is because he was desperate to see the Star Wars A Force Awakens, the 7th film in the franchise, and he was a huge Star Wars fan, along with his wife, Ashley. She put his story up on the internet with the hashtag Force for Daniel. And a lot of people took notice. Mark Hamill was one. Luckily, J.J. Abrams was another. And they granted his final wish. And he got a chance to see The Force Awakens early. Well, sadly, Daniel has passed away. He got to see the film. And I guess having fulfilled that wish, he thought it was okay to go. Passed away in his sleep, apparently, according to his wife. And so a lot of Star Wars fans saddened today by that news, but also happy that he was able to
What a cool
enjoy his
story for
his
me.
Last wish.
Be able to watch it.
Yeah, it's very
it's
cool.
Great.
It's so interesting to me how much a role the mind plays in the body's ability to go on. You hear so many stories about people who hang on until someone gets to the hospital or until they see their kid graduate from college or whatever it is their thing is that they're hanging on for. They manage to make it that long. And then once that's done, it's almost like they just breathe a sigh of relief and they're gone.
I think another part of the story that people are sort of ignoring are that this Star Wars movie kills people.
I don't think that.
The guy saw the movie. He's the first one to see the movie.
Right.
So far, the death rate of people who have seen Star Wars is 100% of the audience that has seen the film has died.
This guy, though, was sick before he saw.
Allegedly. You know? Everybody's sick
of
something. Just saying. Star Wars.
Deadly.
They should put that on the posters. See this film at your own risk.
Too soon.
Last guy saw it.
You just turned into Bean.
Just saying. How dare you? If you ever say that to me again.
The ultimate insult.
I will be responsible for my actions. I've never been spoken to like that before by anyone in my life.
Murder.
It's not acceptable. You say you're sorry right now. You take it back.
Sorry, Rodney.
All right.
Bitch.
Take that back.
Rodney.
Speaking of murder, this guy should be murdered. Ty Siegel is his name. Ty Siegel. You know him?
I don't.
He's a hipster douchebag. I don't know the guy, but I'm telling you right now, he's a hipster douchebag. Remember my long tirade when I announced that they were re-releasing the Blink-182 albums on cassette?
Yes.
Okay. That was BS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
But wait, it was a true story, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
it was a true story, but the fact that it was happening was BS. This makes all apologies to Blink. That's all I got to say now.
Wow.
Because Ty Siegel's released his new album, Emotional Mugger. First of all, is the name of it. This new album, Emotional Mugger. He has released it on VHS.
Yay!
Yeah, you heard me. You heard me right.
Are they videos or just the audio?
It is.
That's weird. Like it matters.
Like it matters. It opens up with the Columbia TriStar home video title card saying coming soon to a theater near you, and then plays the 11-track 40-minute album.
Do any of us still have VCRs?
And then after that, there is the entirety of the Nicole Kidman, Michael Keaton 1993 drama My Life follows the album. So you get a movie at the tail end of the VHS tape.
Why? This is all nonsense.
Why is there a movie?
Although some copies reportedly play Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. So you get a little dual double feature. You get the Emotional Mugger, and then you get a little movie afterwards on VHS tape. He's releasing his new album on VHS tape.
Kevin asks a great question, and that is, what percentage of people still have a working VHS machine in their home?
I still have a VHS machine.
You do?
Yes.
I don't.
Do you have a large collection of movies that are on VHS? Is that why?
You know what I still do have is a large collection of personal home videos and stuff on VHS that I have yet to transfer to DVD.
No, I don't think
that's what
talking about
me.
That being.
No. But once I get around to that, then I will probably get rid of the machine. But I still have one. You know, it's not... I got to connect it up when I want to use it.
Right.
It's just
sitting
there in the closet, but it's there. So
well,
I can listen to Emotional Mugger.
You can expect that from me for Christmas, I'll tell you that.
get the new Ty Siegel album, am I?
Yeah.
Freaking Ty Siegel.
Open up a blog.
Oh, Ty Siegel. You can't hear me now, but I'm shaking
you
my fist.
You are shaking your fist, yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tracy Morgan. How lucky are we that he's getting better?
It's great.
47 years old today. Actress Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, of course, 46. Warren G. He's 45 years old. Diplo turns 37, as does the rapper Eve. Miranda Lambert's 32. Actor Josh Peck is 29 years old. And all morning long, we will be paying tribute to the United States Marine Corps, the finest fighting force in the world. It's the 240th birthday of the Marines. So, hoorah, gentlemen and ladies. Semper Fi, we appreciate your service and your sacrifice for our nation. Salute! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just announced on the program yesterday, we are looking for you if you would like to be Miss Double December 2016. Yes, it is the most wonderful time of the year. You just go to krock.com right now. A couple of rules on there. You got to be 21 or over. Just fill out the forms there, send in a couple of photos of yourself, and then we'll get back to you. I think you have until, I don't have in front of me, but I think it's till the 20th, I want to say.
Yes, it's till the 20th.
From now until the 20th, you can enter online at krock.com, and then we'll bring the girls in and meet them, and then we crown a new Miss Double December 2016 on December 4th at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Once again, that's our live broadcast date, December 4th, if you want to join us.
It seems Kevin, like a month ago since we had Ashley, doesn't it?
I know. And this is, it's always bittersweet this time of year as we realize, hey, we're getting ready to crown a new Miss Double D, because we love the current Miss Double D. Ashley in particular, we love so much, and we haven't seen as much of her as we'd like to this year. And now she's going to be gone, but I hope she'll keep in touch like many do.
I don't know why my suggestion of just adding them to the group isn't upheld. Let's
because
just
then
keep
we would
them
have
all
50 right? Miss Double Decembers right now.
And the problem with that is
if you win the pageant, by the way, quick reminder, you are invited to all of our stuff for 2016. Actually, it starts a little earlier than that because you win tickets to both nights of Acoustic Christmas this year. You get to come to the Weenie Roast next year, April Foolishness, Kevin Bean Singles Parties, Breakfast Withs, all the cool stuff that we do, you are invited to as a guest to the Kevin Bean Show because you're part of the family. Again, go to krock.com if you'd like to be Miss Double December 2016.
Also, we're going to open up the phone lines for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. You call 1-800-520-1067 and tell us what's good. What are we missing? What's in the news that we're not talking about? What are we not aware of? What do you think deserves airtime? You can call now and put you on the air next. Right now, though, the raccoons are taking over the world. And I believe they're targeting me.
Okay.
Give us some background on this story. How long have you been struggling with raccoons in your yard?
Well, on and off. Remember the one that wouldn't let me come to work? Remember that one?
It
was,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was behind my car in the driveway. And
you
had
a standoff, yeah.
Yeah, and it wouldn't move. They're not afraid of people mm-hmm. at all. So I threw things at it, just sat there and looked at me like, yeah, and?
What else you got?
Yeah. I almost just was like, you win. I'm calling in sick. Yeah. Got a raccoon, won't let me out. Sorry. So that was 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
8 years ago, maybe?
All right, so they've been in the neighborhood for a while.
Yes.
So why are they on your radar so much right now?
Well, I just posted a picture of them tearing up my grass. My grass, we put in different grass because it requires less water.
Nice.
So we laid it in, and they come in, and they roll it back up with their little creepy fingers, and then they take the worms from underneath it, and then they don't even have the good sense to roll it back out. They just leave it.
I was terrified when I saw that picture. I thought they were digging a little hole, something. They were straight up rolling sod grass. Rolling it. What is happening in your yard?
They're rolling sod. They're moving it out of the way so that they can get worms.
I think there's a way when you lay new sod down, there are brackets or something that you can put on it, staples or some way that you can, yeah, stakes, some way that you can keep that just long enough for it to take root so that it can't be dug up like that.
Yeah, well, I need to look into that, but I got a gun in the meantime, so it's all good.
A gun.
It's all good. It's not really a real gun. It's a pellet gun.
Okay. How's that going?
Well, I mean, there was a stakeout on Saturday night. I did lay down in the driveway and wait for about 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
I think raccoons are middle-of-the-night creatures.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that, too.
I don't think they come out when it's convenient for you, right. Sometime between after dinner and when you sit down to watch Supergirl.
I wish they would, because it would be a lot easier.
I got a 15-minute window. Give me some raccoons.
So I laid out there for a while, and then target practice on a Coke can just to sharpen my skills.
Sure.
And then I went to bed. I couldn't stay up. I was tired. But then,
a lot of commitment.
But then I do have insomnia, so I got up at like 1:30, mm-hmm. went back out and looked, nothing. Went back to bed, 3:30, woke up, went back out and looked, nothing. Huh. Do they know? Are they on to me?
They might be.
Look, I hate the thought of you hitting a raccoon with a BB. I hate it.
It's the least.
But my question for you is, do you think that will work? If you hit one raccoon with one BB, do you think that's going to keep however many are invading your yard away?
No, but once I yell, and tell everybody else that hurt, that'll do it.
Okay. So you're
pretty
counting,
sure.
So your raccoon plan is really counting on word of mouth
yes.
in the raccoon community.
Okay.
There seems to be word of mouth. And by the way, we were told that there were either 7 or 8 roaming like the neighborhood and killing animals and come
seven or eight in a pack.
They're in a pack.
Well, I know
they're a gang.
I know you're trying to get a message to the raccoons, Kevin, and you're just hoping they'll show up when you happen to be out in the yard. And I've got some great news for you because we asked Dave if there's any way he could line up your raccoons, and I believe we have one of them on the phone from your front yard right now. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show. Who's this?
This is Tony.
Tony. Yeah. And you're at Kevin's house right now?
Right now. We're rolling up the grass, and we're eating the worms.
and how's that going?
They're delicious.
But it's light now. Don't you come out in the middle of the night?
Well, that's when you're out there with your little pellet gun.
You saw my pellet gun?
I saw your little pellet gun.
Did it scare you?
I gotta tell you, we're not impressed by your little pellet gun, my friend.
I wanted to go as small as possible at the beginning and then escalate if I need to.
Here's what happens. Okay. You come out. And you lay there for like 10 minutes, and then we just wait in the bushes.
Right.
We sit back, we have a snack, we laugh at you, and then you go inside. Oh, I'm so bored now, I'm going to go inside. That's when we come out.
Uh-huh.
But we're smarter than you.
They're totally monitoring you.
How did you not know that I was not to just go inside and then come right back out?
Because we have information.
You have information.
That's right, we're organized.
Uh-huh.
We are the worm cartel of Tarzana.
I didn't know there was a worm cartel.
Well, there is, and we're taking over the whole neighborhood.
Well, look, clearly they've got you figured out, Kevin, because they know when you leave the house, when you're at work, when it's safe to do whatever they want to your yard.
That's right. We'll do whatever we want because we're running things now.
First, sounds like it.
You get the worms.
Right.
Next, you get the money. Then you get the lady raccoons. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come to this country for nothing, man.
Can't you skip the steps where you destroy my house to get the lady raccoon?
No.
Huh.
Because first, I got to get the worms.
Right.
Second,
right.
I got to get the money.
Money,
right.
And then three. What is that? Lady raccoons.
Lady raccoons. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And well, I'm just glad you didn't staple your grass like that other guy suggested.
There's a way to do it.
To get grass up when you go around with a stapler and you're stapling down your grass.
So that would have stopped you?
Oh, that's the worst. We hate those. Then we got to get out the staple puller. First, we got to go to, like, Office Depot. Second, we got to get some money to buy a staple puller.
Right.
Three, we got to get the staple puller.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to go around pulling all the staples out of the grass like we're undoing reports in an accounting firm.
Yeah, it does sound like an awful lot of work just for some grub, I guess.
But I'm telling you that your little gun
is
not going to work, so just give it out. You might as well move. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That seems extreme.
What do you think?
Can't we come to some kind of an agreement?
All right, we'll come to an agreement. I agree that you should say hello to my little friend.
Oh.
Yeah, how about that?
You're armed?
And dangerous, mother pepper.
Why listen to the Kevin and Bean Show when you could be part of the Kevin and Bean Show? Taking your calls now on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. This is where we ask you what's good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Why don't we start with Hanson in Sunland, line 6. Kevin, Hanson may have some advice for you with your raccoon problem.
All right. Hey, Hanson.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good. You run into the raccoons yourself?
Oh, yeah. I had an issue with the raccoons pulling up my sod, both my front yard and backyard, for about 2 years straight.
2 years?
Oof. It was annoying. Yeah, so after I put in the sod, there was no way for it to root. And, you know, we kept watering, but three to four raccoons would go and pull up, about half of my yard, dig up all the worms, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you have a conclusion? Did you get rid of them?
No. Well, after trying a bulk, like cayenne pepper, I tried shooting them with, pellet rifles. I live next door to a sheriff, so I couldn't use any real firearms. I ended up just getting a gigantic Labrador pit bull retriever, and they kind of start going away.
Huh.
But they still, to this day, they come back every once in a while, and they throw up all of our yard. They throw up all of our kids' play set.
And it's just really, really annoying.
Just to show you who's boss. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Pissed. Hey, we can do this anytime we want.
Hanson, did you try coyote urine?
I tried.
Why, is it good?
They say it works, but it didn't work for me. I tried coyote urine. I tried regular urine. You know, me and my son were out there peeing.
Hanson!
Wait, did you say you and your son?
Yes. Just out there peeing.
Come on, kid.
Come on, son. But I don't have to go, Dad. You pee.
You'll pee and you'll like it.
Yeah, all right. You'd be a good role model. You know, you'd just have to pee in the yard.
You are awesome. Thank you very much for the call, Hanson. We appreciate it very much. Let's try, let's go to Jorge, Monterey Park. He's up next, line 5 on the Kevin DeMiche. Jorge, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's good?
Hey, I read yesterday that the governor of California announced a new position for the state, and that is a medical marijuana chief. And I thought that Beer Mug would be the ideal candidate to apply for that position.
I'm sure Beer Mug is the person that you want there.
I mean, if you want somebody to work 30 minutes a week, I guess Beer Mug is your guy. if he attacks that job with the ferocity that he has taken on being an Uber driver, but I'm just not sure the taxpayers get their money's worth if Muggs has that job.
So there is a position, though, being filled for that?
That's open for that? Yeah, it was announced yesterday, yeah. Huh. Yeah, a new position to oversee the regulations and whatnot.
Hmm. Well, get back to us when it gets legalized. I can't take this. This is just ridiculous.
What do you mean? You mean you're down on the medical marijuana?
No, I'm not down on that. I'm saying they should just okay it. Just make it fine. Tax it.
Baby steps. Mm-hmm. By the way,
speaking of
jobs, I don't know if you guys saw this other job that got listed this week that is a real job. It's a Tesco, the British supermarket chain, has a job to hire a Christmas light untangler. That will be your job so that customers can bring in their Christmas lights as they prepare to put them up. You know, they get the box out of the garage and they're all tangled up from last year. You take it into Tesco and this guy's job will be to untangle your Christmas lights for you.
That's not bad.
How about that?
Yeah.
Kind of an unusual job that I never heard of existing before.
I feel like that would be dull, though, wouldn't it, to have that job?
But thank God for that guy.
But thank God for that guy. I mean, imagine how happy you would be if you lived near a Tesco, if you'd have somebody to do that for you. Because that's one of the things that people hate the most about having to hang up their Christmas decorations. All right. Thank you for the call on that, Jorge. We appreciate that. Let's try Jesse in Long Beach and find out what kind of medical marijuana he's smoking before he makes this statement. Jesse, welcome to the show. What's going on? What's good?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
So I just saw 007 Spectre, and that was such a horrible movie.
You're a terrible person.
So boring.
You're not a good person.
You gotta listen up, though.
Go ahead.
The storyline, the plot, it was whack. It was totally whack, and I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but it was completely dumb.
Let me ask you this, though, Jesse, because there were parts of it that were sort of unbelievable and dumb. But wasn't there enough action and everything else that goes along with a movie like that that sort of makes it worth it?
No.
It was for me.
Not.
No. Okay.
Oh. Compared to other James Bond movies that all kind of have fantastic plot points and, you know, crazy gadgets and chases and things like that, you thought it was even subpar for another Bond movie, for one of the recent Daniel Craig films?
I think Daniel Craig checked out in this film. I think when he was acting on this, he just, I don't know, his facial expressions in some of the most serious scenes, it looked like he was just taking it as a joke.
Wow.
But in terms of Kevin's questions about the action, I think the opening scene was amazing. I mean, it was great.
You got your money's worth then.
It was Day of the Dead in Mexico City. It was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then that's when it went downhill from there for you?
Absolutely. I just want to say it's like a Big Brother issue. That's literally what was it.
Yeah.
No one. I'm glad you called. No one is saying it's the best James Bond movie ever. But the reviews have generally been it's either good or it's very good. And you know what? That's all you can expect out of a film these days, I think.
You're being denied, Jesse. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we will not allow it.
But thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
What's good?
Big week for Coldplay fans. As you know, the Private K-Rock show is going to be at the Belasco Theater this Friday night. You cannot buy your way in, but you can win tickets coming up on the Kevin and Bean show. If you're not lucky enough to go, by the way, they're also streaming the show through Tidal.
That's right.
Tidal.com. You can actually watch the show on Friday night if you can't be there in person, but it'd be more fun to go. We have your tickets you can win coming up, and Chris Martin himself will be joining us at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got to give it up for our man, Ralph Garman, who gave a shout-out to the United States Marine Corps celebrating their 240th birthday today. There's another anniversary going on today. Kevin, I don't know if you're aware of this or not.
Nope.
But there was a shipwreck 40 years ago today.
No, sir.
Here's a little tape on that.
6,000 ships have been lost on the Great Lakes in the four centuries since Europeans first came to trade along their shores.
Oh, let this whole thing roll.
This is the haunting tale of the largest victim of them all.
Tell us.
A ship built of steel.
Yes.
To carry steel.
What was that?
Yet not strong enough to endure the fierce November gales of Lake Superior.
That sounds terrifying.
A waterway that became a graveyard for 29 men.
29 men.
Waters I wish it was a graveyard for the 30th man. I wish there was one more on the list.
All right, so how many did it say? How many shipwrecks?
Over 6,000 in the Great Lakes.
Oh, come on.
Over the last 400 years.
How is this one the one that you've latched onto so strongly?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are most familiar with the wreck because it's one of the largest death counts that's the most recent. The fact that there were 29 people who died, and this just happened in the 1970s. This didn't happen in 1685 or something like that. So a lot of people are still alive that remember the horror of that sinking.
I remember the horror of the song.
The song is the worst song of all time.
It's brutal. It's brutally brutal.
Why do you guys say that?
Because it is super 1,000% repetitious.
It is.
Repetitive. It's 8 minutes. How long is it? Really?
It's about 6 minutes and 8 seconds.
Oh,
yeah,
my
about
Lord.
6 minutes too long. It is ridiculous.
It is so beautifully written, though, with such attention to detail. You guys want to know the story about how Gordon Michael came to life?
Nope.
We really don't.
There's no, it's just verse. There's no chorus or anything. It's just the same thing over and over again.
There's not a chorus. You're correct about that.
But it's awful.
That's why he said it.
But that's partly because there's so much information
right.
to impart, so many details.
Well, write
about
a book. Don't write a song. Write a book. If there's so many details, open up a blog.
Well, there are lots of books about the wreck, but don't you think there's something so, I don't know, there's just something so nice about the... What? Why are you laughing at me?
I want to hear the end of the sentence.
There used to be a tradition of people writing songs about current events, and that's how the news was disseminated to the world. And I think there's something sweet about a folk song that becomes a pop hit, that becomes a million-selling single because of how powerfully it told the story of an American tragedy.
The troubadours of the 15th century would write ballads about tragedies.
Right.
Now we have books and television and things, and don't need it.
There are plenty of TV specials. There's plenty of books. There are more than 20 books written about the wreck of the Fitzgerald.
Yeah, tell me.
But I do think you're right that I think for many people, the reason this shipwreck is so famous, just like Titanic is famous for a lot of people because of the movie, this is famous for a lot of people because of the song.
And the song is unlistenable.
It's the worst. Gordon Lightfoot's horrible.
Oh, how dare you, by the way. How dare you?
Oh. I'm a musician of limited skills. It's easier to just repeat things.
No, that's...
I find repetition cures various ills. It's easier to just repeat things.
That is
awful.
Unfair.
That's accurate. That's 100% accurate.
He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Don't forget he has lots of other great songs,
we
not
don't
just
care,
the record he had for Fitzgerald.
Though.
He's a tremendous entertainer.
Okay.
And last night he went to the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum in Whitefish Bay to meet with family members of the fallen. How great is that?
He should have joined the fallen. He should have put cinder blocks around his ankles and sang to him.
Bean, I got to tell you, I was surprised to hear it was 29 because as much as you love it, I thought it would be hundreds.
Hundreds, if not thousands.
It's only 29?
It was a working vessel. I mean, this was a freighter. This isn't a cruise ship. This isn't a cruise ship.
Why aren't you in love with Titanic then, where hundreds of people died?
I'm interested in the Titanic.
Not anywhere near this.
Well, the Fitz is close to my heart. I agree with you on that.
Some people write songs about love and romance, but I don't like hearts and cupids. I've written this song and people still listen to it. Most of my fans are all stupid.
How dare you?
Awful.
Ralph, you've written a fair amount of songs in your day. You can appreciate
album after album.
What are you talking about? Because this is what you do with these little songs that you write for the Kevin and Bean Show all the time. Little jingles and intros and parodies and things like that.
Uh-huh. None of them are 6 minutes and 8 seconds long. I'll tell you that much.
You know, from good songwriting, you can see the craftsmanship that went into those lyrics and that great song. It's not an easy time.
This is an awful song about a ship that went down. It's a BS song about seafaring. I can't believe that people still listen and play it. Most of people are all beyond caring.
I mean, you're a f***ing asshole.
Come on.
I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, you f***ing freak.
Same. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52. And now it's time for the showbiz beat.
What happened
with me,
Ralph?
Before
you came in, we had a plan to play a moment with here, and usually Kevin just does the time and then goes right into the thing. So I sit there and wait like a good person, and then nothing.
Now is that going to be a moment too?
Well, you tell us, Kevin. Do you think it was a moment? Whose job was it to do the thing?
Did I misunderstand the plan, Kevin?
Not even a little bit.
All right, nope.
Let's
edit all of that out.
Beer mug.
In post.
Stop it.
And let's pretend.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
The first song is the one that you performed on the MTV Awards called Do It with three zeros. O's. Do It. Shut up, Omar. I don't need your help.
That was a moment with Kevin.
See, that moment of ineptitude would have been so much funnier if we hadn't screwed it up with the new moment of ineptitude.
Now, Omar's going to hurry up and turn the first part of it into another moment with so we can play at the beginning of the next segment that you will also screw that up then.
Very confusing.
It's like one of those Mobius paintings.
I don't know what that means, but I feel like I'm doing good work.
I guess you'd have to keep going.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on Tuesday. What's going on?
Come on, Ralph. It's just hard, man.
We're all still buddies, right?
It's just hard. Boy, that Edmund Fitzgerald sticks in your head, don't it?
Yeah, boy, it's so terrible.
Running around. I think I'd do the entire showbiz beat.
No, please, God, don't.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan joined the Walking Dead cast. He's playing the villain called Negan. Ugh. That's true. He has joined the cast of the Walking Dead. If you know the comic book at all, you know Negan in it, and he's a bad dude in the sense that he hits a lot of people in the face with a baseball bat with barbed wire wrapped around it.
Well, that does seem bad.
That's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. He's a good actor, too.
Oh, so dreamy. Oh, man.
Hey, wasn't he the neighbor that you...
Yes.
Okay. What?
Oh, it is!
Don't bring up my biggest fail, my life's biggest fail.
Creepy
lives in your
dog
neighborhood
walk.
And
lived around the corner.
Yes.
Lived around the corner, almost literally directly behind my house. Our backyards were practically touching.
Right.
And I would often just walk Reggie around the corner, you know.
And you hate Reggie.
I love Reggie. Oh. He's an a-hole, but I love him.
And you were hoping to run into Mr. Morgan?
And I kept thinking, if I walk by and then we get into a conversation, hey, Jeff, what's up?
You slow down when you're in front of his house to make it last.
I'm a neighbor from the neighborhood.
Longer.
And, well, we have, we have stuff in common and we chat. Next thing you know, we'd be driving motorcycles together up the coast.
Wow.
Right? Like buddies do?
Rich fantasy life.
Camping
renting
out.
Renting a motel room together.
Camping out. Not motel. Camping out.
Sure.
Camping out. Mm-hmm. Without fire.
So what happened?
S'mores.
Did he move?
Yeah, he moved.
Oh. You think he moved because of you?
No.
Can you find his new address and start walking your dog over there? Get in your car and drive to where he's living now and walk.
Fly to wherever he is.
Oh,
fly to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. We would have been best friends.
I don't feel
best
like...
buddies.
Okay.
We would have been best buddies. We just had the chance. It's dumb.
I think lots of people have that celebrity that they think, honestly, if that person got to know me, I really do think we would connect and we would be friends.
Yeah, but those people are wrong. I was right. I was right. Anyway, congratulations. He is a great actor, and I think he's going to be great on Walking Dead. So that's exciting news.
I'm glad you don't hold it against him that he never ran out of his house when he saw you out front to meet you.
No, it was supposed to be just an accidental meeting. And, you know, you can't force an accident to happen.
You sure tried.
Well, you got to
meet cute.
Got to put yourself out there, man. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. It's hard out there for a pimp.
Sure.
Sad news. Daniel Fleetwood has passed away. You may know the name Daniel from the hashtag Force for Daniel presence on social media. His wife, Ashley, was trying to get Daniel's final wish to come true. He was suffering from spindle cell sarcoma cancer and was only given 2 months to live. That was back in July. So he was already lasting longer than doctors had expected. A hardcore, diehard Star Wars fan. His final wish was to see the newest film before it was released. However, due to the fact it wasn't going to be released until December 18th, he was afraid he wouldn't be able to make it. He'd run out of time. So, thanks to his wife putting his story up on the internet, powers that be at Disney and J.J. Abrams and everybody involved got together and made his dream come true. He's able to see the film, and now he has passed away. So, just days after he saw it, so...
Sadness. Pretty cool that he got to see it.
It's
though.
Great. It's yeah? great that he did. That's and amazing. Remember, this isn't the first time JJ's done this. He did it with the Star Trek film. Diehard Star Trek fan was also dying and wanted to see it, and he made that possible
wow.
as well. And he too passed away shortly after he saw the film. So it's really nice that guys like JJ Abrams, who obviously are busy, busy men, have it in their hearts to do something nice for somebody who's suffering. So it was really very cool of him. The Force will be with you always, Daniel. Now, let's talk about people we don't like.
Okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Nope.
She may be joining The View.
Can we save the story for tomorrow? Can we talk about this tomorrow, maybe instead of today?
I feel like this is there play any way tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I feel
there
like
might be
this...
more info tomorrow.
Right,
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll table that one.
Okay. Yeah, let's save that for another day, perhaps.
All right.
For no particular reason,
right.
just because
no.
we feel like
it's a good choice.
More details later.
All right. Cowards.
And she's a good lady, and we're fans of hers, too. Let's all remember.
Jada Pinkett Smith is developing a new TV series for ABC. I thought this was a joke when I first read it, but apparently it's real. She's going to be starring in a new show on ABC called Murder Town.
Murder Town?
Murder Town. She'll play the district attorney... Eternity? District attorney of Wilmington, Delaware. She's the city's first African-American DA, and her former husband was murdered.
Oh.
Because it's Murder Town. Only two kinds of people in Murder Town, murderers and corpses, because it's Murder Town. Forget it. It's Murder Town. What are you up for? Murder. Why? It's Murder Town.
It writes itself.
Murder Town. Jada Pinkett Smith in a TV series called Murder Town.
She's going to be great.
Much scenery chewing will exist in Murder Town. They should call it Scenery Chewing Town. But that probably wouldn't be nearly as effective.
I think that this man was murdered.
Be a lot of those moments in Murder Town. More TV news. The first success story of the new season, Blindspot, has been given a second season by NBC. Congratulations to everybody involved. And Olivia Munn's working on a new TV series.
All right.
She's working with the CW to put together a new show about a woman who becomes the first female network sportscaster in the early 1970s. No word on whether Olivia will star on the show or not, or simply produce it for the CW, but she is developing it. She has a little experience in this line of work. She was a former intern at Fox Sports Net. Did you know that? And she worked as a sideline reporter covering college football and women's basketball.
I don't think I did.
Not know that.
There you go.
Hmm.
So she has an affinity for the plight of female sportscasters trying to come up in the 1970s when it was an all-boys club.
It still is.
But that could be interesting.
Yeah, I like it.
Hope she doesn't have to cover any teams in Murder Town. Because that's a dangerous place to be. They'll murder you on the sidelines. The Murder Town Murderers. That's the name of their sports team.
Right? Wow.
Yeah.
They're murderers?
The murderers.
They have a mascot?
It's a knife. Just a giant guy in a giant knife costume. Knifey, they call him.
Really?
Knifey the Knife.
Wow.
And they don't have a lot of imagination in Murder Town.
No, apparently
they're
not.
Too busy trying to stay alive. You know why? It's Murder Town. This fall on ABC.
If they're casting for Knifey, you got to go for that role.
Hey, everybody. I'm Knifey.
I'm the mascot of the Murdertown Murderers. I just...
No, Knifey.
Falls down. There's a big knife in his back.
Oh.
The DA shows up.
I think that this knife has been murdered.
I can't wait for the showdown.
Murdertown will return after these messages. Today's celebrity birthdays. Josh Peck's 29 years old. Singer Miranda Lambert is 32. Eve is 37 years old. Diplo, also 37. Warren G's 45. Ellen Pompeo, she's 46. She was on Grey's Anatomy. She probably knows Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stupid girl.
Well, why? Just because like, she was on a show with him?
Yeah.
You might need to get over that.
She got lucky. I didn't get lucky.
Yeah.
Actor Tracy Morgan's 47 years old today. And all morning long, we've been saluting the finest fighting force in the world, the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah! Semper Fi, boys and girls, celebrating their 240th birthday today of the USMC. So, salute. And if you are a former Marine or current Marine, we thank you for your service. Let's buy them something on their birthday.
All of
the Marines. Let's buy the Marines something on their birthday.
Okay.
What should we get them?
I don't know. A poster for Murdertown?
I like it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, Chris Martin from Coldplay in the studio.
Love Chris.
Same.
So excited he's coming in. Hey, Ed Westwick, too, from Gossip Girl and the new Wicked City, joins us in about 20 minutes as well. Guy on the news the other day who has an unusual name. We've talked about this from time to time. It's been a long time since we've talked about what it's like for you if you have a name that is completely not noteworthy. What's the word? Noteworthy? Not noteworthy? Disnoteworthy? What's it like for you if you have a name that nobody pays any attention to until all of a sudden a famous person comes along? Or worse, an infamous person comes along. Look, there was a guy out there named Charles Manson, and it was no big deal until the other Charles Manson all of a sudden started being all over the news. And then all of a sudden, your life sucks if you're the first guy named Charles Manson, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift.
That's this guy.
He's in Washington.
Yep. Here's a news report of his story of what it's like having that name. And, of course, he was just a dude named Taylor Swift. For 20 years.
Yeah.
Until she came along, and then all of a sudden it just turned his whole life upside down.
Well, what if nobody believes you when you told them your name? Well, that is what a Seattle man has to go through every day. As Como 4's Mitch Pittman found out, the confusion is only getting worse thanks to a certain pop star's rise in fame.
By no fault of his own, Taylor has had his identity stolen.
By the way, he's in his kitchen cooking right now.
Nice natural sound.
I don't know why.
What?
It has to be so noisy.
Because it's loud.
It does sound like he's taking apart a car. I don't know what's happening, but he's just cooking. There's nothing sad going on.
For years, his world has been turned upside down. Because despite his quiet life,
it's okay.
Not very quiet.
Taylor's full name is
Taylor Swift.
By the way, doesn't sound to me like he has a very quiet life at all.
Yeah, he's a noisemaker, that guy.
Imagine his surprise a few years back when an up-and-coming country artist shared his name.
I was kind of like, okay, I should look into this. So I started researching. I was like, okay, so she does country music. That's great. She writes her own music. That's awesome. She seems like a great person.
Then imagine every single day of his life since.
By the way, let's stop for a second right there. And we are going to take your calls. If you have the same name as a celebrity, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what that is like at 1-800-520-1067. Can you imagine if your name were Taylor Swift, how much you would never want to tell people your name?
Yeah, I think I would just lie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just make something up?
Like his middle name is Adam. Maybe it's time to just go by Adam. Just be Adam Swift. I mean, even having the last name Swift, you're going to get a certain number of people because that's a kind of an unusual last name. You're going to get a certain number of people who are going to make some sort of reference, but nothing like having the same first name.
His email was taylorswift@gmail.com, so he had to change that because he started getting all kinds of fan.
And by the way, I don't know how he gets so much fan mail delivered to his actual home, but people all over the world track him down and send him letters thinking that he's Taylor Swift.
I don't know what kind of fans they are that think that he's lived, Taylor Swift is living in Seattle, but they're writing him letters. He's got stacks and stacks of them all over his house.
And the real bummer is he's a photographer, so he's trying to drum up business, that type of thing. Oh, I'm a photographer in Seattle. Google me. You Google Taylor Swift Seattle, yeah. And it's every show she's done in Seattle. So his business is essentially buried.
Yep. Let's hear a little bit more from this Taylor Swift.
And then there's that moment when they're like, wait, your name's actually Taylor Swift? Wait, your name's Taylor Swift. And it happens all the time, numerous times a day. Even at Starbucks, they ask your name, and it's like, Taylor. And it's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny if your last name was Swift?
I don't think anyone says that.
I don't think anyone says debit card.
By the way, he sounds like a dope, too.
He doesn't say my name is Taylor, and they go, you mean like Swift? That doesn't happen. No. It hasn't happened once.
He does sound like a dope.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is a 30-year-old photographer living in Seattle. His name is Taylor Swift. So we thought it'd be fun to take your calls if you've got the same name as a celebrity. 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug told us just yesterday, one of our contests or a phone-in topics or something like that, we had a guy named Tom Cruise calling in.
Yeah.
For instance. That can't be fun. You don't want to be named Tom Cruise, right?
Not unless you're Tom Cruise.
All right. Let's go to line six. Let's go to Claremont. Let's talk to Meg Ryan. I'm a huge fan of hers, man. She was just America's sweetheart for all those movies. Wow, it's so fun to have Meg Ryan on the phone.
Person being.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Meg Ryan.
Hi there. How are you?
We're good.
Well, how are you, more importantly? What's that life being like being Meg Ryan?
You know what? It's kind of awesome. I get asked all the time what it's like to have kissed Tom Hanks and to get really good dinner reservations. And people freak out until they meet me and realize that I'm only 30.
Wait, so you so you do call restaurants and you say, it's Meg Ryan, I'd like to make a reservation. They go, yes, of course.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And I show up and it's the chef's table. Or
that's awesome.
And then they're like, well, where's Meg Ryan?
Has it been, in your case, a little bit easier for you now that Meg Ryan is kind of not as famous as she once was? She doesn't seem to work as much.
Absolutely. But it's kind of fun. I have probably more fun than Taylor Swift does.
Yeah, because she's actively bad.
No. She's talking about the guy named Taylor Swift.
I know. And I'm saying he has it worse because she's actively bad, Taylor
Thank
Swift.
You, Meg. Right. We appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
Thank
By the way,
you.
He's
have
a
Okay, bye now. Thank you.
He's a Taylor Swift.
Thanks for calling. Have a good day. All right, bye.
Good job.
All right, let's try Scott Peterson, please, on line five.
Oh, man.
This is one phone call?
Oh,
God. Scott Peterson.
I'm living my life, and suddenly this guy decides to murder his wife and unborn baby.
Yep. Yeah, so that happened, and then?
And the worst part is nobody had any good jokes about it.
That's the worst part?
That's the worst part. Everybody's like, oh, you're like the murderer. You're Scott. And they're like, yeah.
And then they're out.
It's a perfect example of exactly what we were talking about, which was the name meant nothing to anyone. It's a very normal first name, a very normal last name. But then one day you wake up and your whole life changes through no fault of your own. And you must have just been sitting there that day going, oh, come on.
Exactly. And I actually lost a job because of it, because somebody thought, no, this guy's messing with me. This is one of my friends calling and calling me, so I'm not going to call him back.
Oh, tough. All right, you can choose. You can have Scott Peterson or you have to be named Taylor Swift. Which do you choose?
Taylor Swift.
Really?
All right. Went a different way than I expected.
Yeah.
Well, she hasn't killed anyone that we know of.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, thanks so much for the call. We'll take a quick break. Hey, great news, you guys. Superstar booking on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking to Chris Rock when we return right after this on K-Rock. Actor Ed Westwick from TV's Wicked City joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. And don't forget Chris Martin from Coldplay at 9. We're talking about a Seattle man who for 20 years had the very unremarkable name of Taylor Swift. No one ever thought twice about it when he gave their name. And then there was a little country singer coming out of Nashville that turned his whole world upside down. I thought he handled it pretty well, considering how miserable it must be for him to be named Taylor
Swift.
Yeah,
he didn't seem like he was bitter.
Didn't seem like he was angry about it. And he certainly didn't take our advice, which is start going by your middle name, Adam. But we wanted to talk to some of our Kevin and Bean listeners who are in the same boat. Let's go to Chris Rock. He is on line three. He's in Placentia. Hey, Chris Rock. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Ralph, how you guys doing? Yeah, my name's Chris Rock. I'm 6'4", white. I got red hair. I grew up with this name. I used to hate it when I was a kid, but now that I'm older, I actually love it. When I meet people, they remember my name forever. Job interviews, it's kind of weird. It's kind of dumb at first, but it gets better. I do a lot of networking, so people always remember my name. It's pretty cool. It's not too bad.
Are you on cocaine right now?
Yeah.
All right.
I just drove over from the IE, so.
Oh, all right.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. All right, Chris, glad you're making the most out of your name. Thank you for the call. Let's try, let's go to Jack Nicholson. He's on line 7. He's in Corona Del Mar.
All right. Hey, Jack.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
This seems like it would work out better, doesn't it? Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a funny name. Most of the time I get people that'll come up to me with impressions. So they'll start with The Shining, the go-to, As Good as It Gets, A Few Good Men. Those are the three big ones.
But here's the question that we have for anyone in a situation like yours where your name is so well known is, don't you just get tired of it to the point where you don't even want to say your name out loud because you know somebody's going to go, here's Johnny.
And, well, you know what I do is I usually spell my name. If somebody asks the name, I'll say, yeah, it's Jack, J-C-K, last name, N-I-C-H-O-L-S-O-N. That way it kind of goes over the head. So if I don't want to get into it, that's what I do. But, yeah, you're right. It's every day.
Yeah, there are just times where you just don't want to talk about the other Jack Nicholson, right?
All right, exactly.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's talk to our friend Natalie Cole. She's on line 6. She's in Carson. Hey, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
We are good.
Now, how old are you?
I am 30.
Oh, okay. So do you run into a lot of people who don't even know who Natalie Cole is? This one, she was very, very popular in the 70s, 80s, early 90s, but not so much anymore.
I mean, now it's gotten better, but when I was a kid, it was really bad because I would always get the, can you sing? And I have a horrible voice, so it didn't go off so well.
Wait, people would say, hold on, your name is Natalie Cole, so can you sing?
Exactly. They would automatically think that I have this magical talent because Natalie Cole can sing really well.
But wait, they didn't think that you were the other Natalie Cole. They just figured you had a good voice as well?
Exactly, yes.
Well, that's on them, right? They're the dumbasses.
That's pretty weird.
Thank you. It's so weird, especially because I sound horrible on, like, singing. And she's right.
Let's hear some, Natalie. Just give us a little bit.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to do that to you.
Just a
tiny
amount.
Kind of punishment.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, but you must be able to sing. I mean, look at your name.
I can't. I know, right? Mm. I should. It's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Natalie. Let's go to Kim Davis. Line 4, Los Angeles. Perfect example of everything was fine until 3 months ago. Kim, this is still fresh in your memory. What was it like that day you saw the county clerk in Kentucky?
Yeah, good morning. I actually heard it on the radio, and I heard the story, and I was like, that sucks. That person is such a jerk. And then I heard the name, and I was like, no, my world just changed.
Wow, that sucks so much.
And then did you just find yourself having to get into a gay marriage debate every single time you met somebody because your name was Kim Davis?
Yeah, and a lot of times, like, when I'll go to bars or whatever, and people look at my ID, they'll laugh or they'll apologize and say, I'm so sorry. And it's just been a crazy few months.
Yeah. Well, at least yours will fade, I imagine.
Yeah, at some point.
Okay, good. Thank you for calling.
Well, that's what you get for hating the gays, by the way.
No, I don't think she'd be new.
Chris Martin from the band Coldplay joins us in studio in about 20 minutes or so from right now. And we're also going to hook you up with more tickets to the K-Rock Only Show this Friday night at the Belasco Theater. You can't buy those tickets. You can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show coming up also with Chris. Give me a little of that Wicked City theme, would you please? It's a show that debuted a couple weeks ago on ABC, Tuesday nights at 10. Another new episode tonight. I got to tell you, Kevin, as I watch this show, it occurs to me that you and I arrived in Hollywood a few years too late.
Yeah.
The Sunset Strip in 1982 was all rock and roll, all hot chicks, and all cocaine. Ed Westwick is one of the stars of Wicked City. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Ed.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
We are good. Thank you.
We're doing great. We appreciate very much you joining us. What's it like for you as a guy who wasn't even born yet in 1982 to see what that scene was like on those few miles of the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles?
It's a wild little trip. It really is. I get to jump in the proverbial time machine, as it were, and float back to 1982 Sunset Strip, as you say, and just really go into that world, which, you know, I mean, you touched on some of the things that were knocking around, sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the era, the fantastic institutions up and down the strip, like the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Dome and these great places that we get to recreate and tell our story in. But it was a wild place, and it's, you know, it makes for a great place to tell this story, as I say.
And it seems like for guys, it's not that big a deal to put on the members only jacket from 1982. But what about what the girls have to go through to get their hair to look like it did back in the 80s?
Yeah, well, you know what, man? I'm actually in the same boat as the girls on this show because I go through quite a few crazy hairdos myself. So I'm feeling their pain. But no, definitely, it's a very specific look between the clothes and the and the hair and makeup and everything. But it's a fun era. You know, there was so much room to play around with different things. You know, it was a very bold era as well, especially in terms of the clothes and stuff. So, I mean, definitely exciting to kind of try all of that out. And I think it's one of the cool things that people pick up when they watch the show. They might, I mean, if they're, you know, either people who grew up in that era or something, they might see something that that reminds them of their past. They might show up at work the next day rocking the haircut they had when they were 21. But, you know, it's all different, but it's a wonderful thing.
It's not just the clothing too. It's the, like the lack of technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no internet. You can't triangulate a cell phone.
Exactly. It's a really funny thing to put yourself back in a time where we didn't have cell phones, you know, and where all other things like that were kind of, you know, were restricted. They just didn't exist. And it's interesting, you know, and I mean, because now we just take cell phones for granted completely. They pretty much run our lives. I think we'll all agree that.
Sure.
And then, to do that, it's just a cool thing. It really makes you realize that you're telling a story from a different time. But what's interesting also is that, you know, it's not a million years ago. It's still the 80s. It's pretty contemporary.
And as a young girl, all I wanted to hear was on the radio a song being dedicated to me. But now it takes a whole different turn.
And it's you guys that do the dedications for us, right?
Well,
Kevin.
I'm glad you said that, Ed, because our boy Kevin here somehow is...
You're part of it. You're my accomplice.
I am, right? Actually, yeah. Kevin is the voice on the radio. So here's what happened. So Ed Westwick on the phone here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about Wicked City airing tonight at 10 on ABC. So he's a serial killer. Hey, spoiler alert. So he goes out to the clubs in the Sunset Strip, and he is just as sweet as can be. He tells these young ladies anything they want to hear, and then he gets them in his car. And by the way, he's totally got game because it's working. He's
charming.
Five minutes, Ed, after meeting some of these girls, they're in your lap in the front seat of the car. I mean, you're strong, dude.
He's a little bit of a record breaker, I'm sure.
All right. So what Ed does, his move is, no cell phones, remember, is he uses a payphone at the club and dials up the radio station to make a request to this girl. This is his closer move because these girls are going to hear this dedication on the radio while they're making out with him in the front seat. And then while they're doing their business, he pulls out a knife and kills them, ladies and gentlemen. This is the voice on the radio that makes Kent kill.
I gotta tell you, I'm loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F., and it's from her secret admirer.
Wait. Cool. All right, here's the knife. And the next thing you know, there's just blood splattered all over the dash of the
car. Kevin is an accomplice.
Are you saying that I'm causing him to kill?
Your voice.
It's all you, buddy. It's all you.
That's nonsense. That date was going so well until you heard that bad man on the radio, and then you just explode with rage. All right. Jeremy Sisto, by the way, is outstanding. He plays the lead detective trying to search for the serial killer. Thaisa Farmiga is great on the show as well. And I don't want to see you do anything bad to our little Erica Christensen. Mm-hmm. We love her so much, Ed. What's up?
She's absolutely fantastic and a real pleasure to work with. I mean, I've been really blessed to have a really great cast on this. And, you know, what's one of the interesting things is you mentioned Jeremy and you mentioned his character, the detective, and me being the serial killer and, you know, on the surface, the villain. But what's interesting with our show is quite unique is that you know that who the bad guy is from the get-go. At least you think you know. And as our story develops, and obviously more will be shown and revealed tonight, you know, the question marks are kind of put over that. Who is the good guy? Who is the bad guy? And, you know, you discover things about Kent which make you feel a little bit,
you know, maybe compassionate. Maybe maybe you're more interested in it, in, you know, other aspects of him. He has perhaps more sides to him. So it's a show that's kind of unique in the way it treats its audience in that regard. So definitely one that I'm very much enjoying, being very interested to be going down this road, and I feel like, you know, audience members as well will have a very interesting journey with it as well.
Is it fun as an actor to play a serial killer?
Well, as I said, I mean, that is one aspect which is new territory for me in terms of a character, and in real life, you'll be happy to know.
But good.
I mean, and yes, of course, that is something that is, you know, satisfying as an actor because it is different and new territory. But as I say, I mean, there's so much going on with this character. He's so multi-layered, and I'm discovering more and more. Just, you know, as we work our way through the season, it's gratifying on so many levels. Just because it is something that is keeping me guessing as an actor. It is new territory, as I say. So, I mean, yeah, it's one that's ticking all the boxes. Of course, it has its very, very dark moments, which are difficult either as an actor playing them and kind of pursuing them emotionally. You know, even though it's just playtime, it's still a little strange. And I'm sure, you know, it's a little uncomfortable as well to watch. But at the end of the day, it's what we're trying to do is tell an interesting story here. And I think, you know, it still falls under the banner of entertainment, and we're very proud of what we're doing and very excited for people to see it.
So I'm going to get so invested in Kent's story, in Betty's story, in their story together. I'm going to start rooting for you two to murder people, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, the Romeo and Juliet of serial killers has been thrown around, so.
All right.
I'm in. I'm in.
It can be done. We rooted for Dexter to get away with it for years, remember?
That's true.
You know?
He was murdering horrible people, though.
Was, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, the show, people are digging it. It's called Wicked City. It airs again tonight at 10 p.m. on ABC. It's not too late to join the party, and of course, you can still see the episodes you've missed. The first couple are up at abc.com. Ed, I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye now.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
Found another clip of Kevin on Wicked City. You got time for it?
Oh, great. Love to hear it.
Yeah, hear him again.
Please.
Let's somebody else get killed.
Man, that song is on fire. And now here's Joan Jett of the Blackhearts, Crimson and Clover. This is for Betty B, and it's from her secret admirer.
No.
That song is on fire.
Wow, that song is on fire. And now here's another song. It's Joan Jett with Crimson and Clover.
Who's playing Joan Jett and Foreigner records less than Kevin?
It's 1982, man.
Can't That's you tell true. By the excitement in his voice how much he loves that music?
I'm an actor.
That's right.
No,
hey,
no, it's coming up next. It's a song that I'm very, very excited about. And I cannot wait to see this band live.
Maybe. For as much coke as was going on back then, you are.
To K-Sleep.
Right?
That's a great, great point, Allie. Our friend Chris Martin is in a band called Coldplay,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be joining us just after 9 to talk about that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
I'd love to hear Coldplay songs and as a baby songs. You know they do those baby songs? You know the songs, baby songs?
Lullaby.
Oh,
that's
the
word.
That's right.
Lullaby.
Lullaby. Speaking of singing, are you ready to compete? You ready? I think it's time to get our a cappella group back together again, Kevin.
Do we have an a cappella group?
Sure, don't you remember? You remember.
Okay.
We were the Four Larynx. You don't remember that?
I don't remember being in the Four Larynx, no.
There's a new competition reality show.
Really?
Going to be on television.
For quartets?
Lifetime Cable Network. No, it's for a cappella singing teams. Just like Pitch Perfect. You know, Pitch Perfect, they have the a cappella singers, and they get together and they compete.
Right.
So if you love Pitch Perfect, you're going to love Pitch Slapped.
Nope.
That is not the name of it.
Pitch Slapped.
That's not the name of it.
Has an 8-episode order from Lifetime, the competition show between two competitive a cappella teams.
Ralph, you mistakenly said Pitch Slapped.
Pitch Slapped. One of these teams is going to get Pitch Slapped.
But you're acting like that's the name of the show.
That's because that's the name of the show. and they will be pitch slapped.
Lifetime television for women.
Yeah.
Pitch slapped.
I think I'm tuning into Murder Town. I don't think I'm going to be watching Pitch Slapped. I know, Kevin, you're probably the biggest, wealthiest Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas fan I know. So I did want to give you a heads up about the VIP package on their co-headlining tour.
Okay.
You and three guests will get your own dressing room backstage filled with whatever you like. In Kevin's case, I think it's Baby Ruth's and air pellet guns. There'll be a backstage tour dinner with the crew. Wow. You get to
Motley Crue is in it?
No. Oh. I believe it's with the guys who move the,
like the roadies?
The guitar cases. Yeah. But both Demi and Nick will visit your dressing room and hang out and sign photographs and take photos.
Hmm.
All this can be yours for the low, low price. How much do you think you're paying for this experience, the VIP experience with Demi Lovato and Nick Jonas?
Boy. No, 1,000?
Come on.
What? Is that too low?
I'd pay $10,000.
You would pay $1,000 just to eat with the roadies?
Yeah.
Is that code?
Eat with the roadies.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. $10,000.
$10,000.
Yes. It does not include tickets to the show, by the way.
What?
You got to buy your own tickets.
That seems like an oversight.
Yeah. So $10,000 to eat with the roadies.
Yeah.
And to get your own dressing room backstage.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hang out with Nick and Demi.
Demi Lovato.
While we're talking music, I'd pay $10,000 to hang out with this dude. Billy Idol is his name. And he is going to do a concert residency in Vegas, like so many artists are doing now. He's going to sit down at the House of Blues inside the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. So far, only 12 dates have been booked, but they're saying they're open to more. It's happening in 2016, March through May, kicking off on March the 16th. Tickets go on sale Friday. I would love to see that show. I'm planning on it. I'm going to
really great live.
I'm planning on going there to do that.
I'll go with you, Ralph.
With me? All right,
yeah, I'm in.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
Wait. That'd be the best. Bring your bees.
I will. I don't go anywhere without them.
My fondest memory of Billy Idol, we had him in the show once. And we had something in common. For a while, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was dating an adult film actress named Ginger Lynn.
That's right.
And Billy had also dated Ginger Lynn. And you know, Ginger and I were together for almost a couple of years, and she would say, in the throes of passion, that I was pretty gifted in certain areas.
Oh,
okay,
all right,
and she knows.
She knows, right?
All right.
So I would say to her, "Am I the best? You know, am I the best sex you ever had?"
Yes, you are.
And
the
she
best.
Would say, and "I have to be honest, no."
Oh,
that would be Billy Idol.
She's so, not playing along. Time, that's not what you wanted.
Time goes by, and Billy's a guest after the fact. After the relationship is over, and Billy's Idol's a guest on the show.
Go on.
I sit on the interview, and we have this amazing interview. He's a very nice guy. He's terrific. Why is Bean going to creep everything off?
He can do it in a second.
One second.
The story was fine.
And so Billy's here, and he's a great interview and a nice guy, and just could not have been more impressed with the fella. So we're sitting here, and at the end of the interview, I said on the air, I said, "Billy, before you go, I have one last thing to say. I got to give you a little bit of a compliment, but I used to date Ginger Lynn." He's like, "Oh, yeah, I did too." I said, "I know you did, because she would tell me often when I would ask, was I the best she ever had? She would say, no, that's Billy Idol." And he took a beat and looked at me and said, "Huh, she used to tell me it was Charlie Sheen." Laugh! Oh, I thought we'd cry. And there was a big embrace, and we all went out for fondue afterwards.
I don't think that happened, the fondue
part.
So
the thing that you and Billy Idol have in common is Hep C? Did I miss the point of the story?
Wow.
Dare you?
What is wrong with you?
Sir. By the way, speaking of Hep C, real quick.
This can't be
funny,
good.
Funny that you would segue into a Hep C chunk, because Pamela Anderson, you know, famously struggling with that disease.
Right.
Pam Anderson.
Pam Anderson has been cured.
Cured.
She's been undergoing a new treatment, and she announced on her Instagram page that she has been cured from Hep C.
Now, is that medically possible, or is she
it
just
is
being
now.
Optimistic?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, it is now.
That's
have developed a new therapy, And she is now no longer the hepatitis C virus present in her body.
Wow. Hmm.
Yeah, she was very excited, so much so that she posted the news on Instagram. She accompanied it with a nude photograph of herself.
You know,
you break medical news with a picture of yourself naked in sitting in a speedboat. You do that? That's what she did. Anyway, she said it's a new treatment, but it's really, obviously, it's very successful, and she's saying it should be available and more readily available and more affordable.
How about that?
Shortly. So good news for folks who are dealing with Hep C.
Pam Anderson.
So that's great news. From Pam Anderson.
Yep.
And she's naked.
Nude.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Josh Peck is 29 years old today. Singer Miranda Lambert turns 32 years old. Rapper Eve is 37. DJ Diplo celebrates.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Right?
Right?
Warren G is 45. Ellen Pompeo, she's 46 years old. And actor Tracy Morgan celebrates his 47th birthday today. And all morning long, we have been saluting our fighting men and women in the United States Marine Corps. So thankful for the sacrifice and for the hard work that all those folks do. Want to celebrate the birthday of the Corps, 240 years old today. The Corps doesn't look a day over 220. I think really it's aging well. So congratulations to all you Marines out there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Closing walls and ticking clocks. Never meant to cause trouble. I will try to fix you.
Chris Martin, thanks for coming in. We're out of time.
My whole life just got reduced to 40 seconds.
We are out of time. I'm sorry. That's all the allotment we had for this interview.
That's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
That's the first time I've ever had a guest react to the intro that way by going, why are you doing this?
Chris, people have a short attention span. We want to make sure they know who you
happened?
Are. Well, it was just a quick introduction of some of your best stuff.
Did it feel like a funeral?
It was a tribute.
It felt like a funeral.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What do you want? Are you going to say anything nice at the end? Like, he was a nice guy.
Well, I don't. It wasn't really for a funeral, but
he was so talented. He was so much good music behind. It's a shame we lost him so young.
They made almost 50 seconds of great music.
Well, did you want us to play all of the songs one right after another? We'd be here all day.
No, it's like, imagine if you came in my house and I played all your best clips.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
well,
before that would be a short visit.
Yeah. All right, Ali.
That's a bit mean.
Wow, I know.
I go back with these guys. You can't be mean to them.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that, Chris. For 15 years, you have been coming on the Kevin Abeen Show about every year or two. You're more reliable than a lot of employees we have here at K-Rock with us as consistently
as you talking about me? Are you talking about me now?
Just in general. All right. Just people. So, aren't you so delighted, though, when you crawl up out of the cave where you boys make your magic that the world still cares?
And the magic cave.
Very, very interested in. You know, there's some bands, let's be honest, it's a little bit of an uphill climb to get interest in their record. But when you guys show up and go, hey, new Coldplay, people are like, gimme, you know, which must be very gratifying for you.
You know what's funny? I dropped the kids off at school this morning and I was just thinking about how grateful I felt for that exact reason. I think, I've known these guys a long time and they still let us come in, and I feel more grateful than ever for it. I don't know how you feel about still being DJs after 70 years.
Well, look, we're going to die any day. That's obvious. So
we're just barely hanging on. This could be our last interview.
No, but don't you feel that? I really do feel what you're saying. I'm like, wow, this, especially now with the way the music world is, it's like you're really lucky to have the job.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
And I wondered at what point in your journey, and you guys have been together for a long time, at what point in your journey were you comfortable enough to realize, wow, this is now my life. This isn't something I'm trying to do. This is what I'm actually doing and getting away with it. Did it take a long time to feel like it was really going to be a career for you?
Well, I think it's always going to feel like a calling, like that's what I'm supposed to do. But I still don't take it for granted that we can make a living from it, if that makes any sense.
You don't take it but you can. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't.
I'm a little confused by that because I'd say you could count on that.
I don't know, man. I don't think about it like that.
Okay.
I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but I can't always. We can't always guarantee that anyone was going to be interested, but I will keep doing it.
You've said that this new record coming out on December 4th.
Hey, I upset you, by the way.
Oh, God,
I'm
no.
so sorry. You're looking at me like no. I said something terrible.
No. Oh, my God, okay. No. Wow, that took a turn.
I was just trying to protect the guys.
Oh, no, absolutely.
She has to take a lot of crap from us. Okay. She's fine.
Okay.
She's good.
Chris, you have said that this new record, Head Full of Dreams, coming out December 4th, is, I don't want to misquote you, but is it the best record you've made, or is it the record you're most proud of, the record that's most fully realized of what you wanted Coldplay to be back in the day?
Which one do you want me to choose?
Well, I'm asking if any of those sound accurate.
What I said last week was is kind of where we always hoped we'd get to, and it makes sense of everything we've done up to it. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, I just feel really, I'm not sure if anyone will like it, but I'm just really proud of where we've got to, and I really like playing it. This is a very simple answer, so I'm so sorry. Should be more intellectual, but yeah, it's a really fun band to be in at the moment.
I would think it would be.
Yeah, we're just having a great time.
So you didn't tour that much with Ghost Stories.
We didn't. I think we did 11 concerts.
Right. And you are going to tour
Tiny
with this
concerts.
Album.
Yeah, we're going to tour like crazy.
All next year, right?
Yeah. My son just designed some shoes for the tour.
Does your son know that? Okay, I don't know if he's
I guess it's
doodling?
A website where you can customize sneakers. And I said, son, please could you make some Head Full of Dreams sneakers? And he just made the most awesome shoes. So,
and once
I got the right shoes, then we're ready to tour.
Once they come in, you're ready.
No, I swear, don't you feel that way about footwear?
Absolutely.
You have to be in the right footwear for the right activity.
Allie, tell Chris about the shoes you just got last week that you won't shut up about.
I got Star Wars shoes.
Really?
Yeah, they're flats, but one is Han Solo and one is Leia. So it's the Empire Strikes Back, I love you, I know. So when you take walks, you just think of that.
Oh, that's one. Do you not have a slight imbalance from side to side?
No, I know how to walk.
I wanted to get some Back to the Future shoes. They came out as well.
We can get you some.
Can you really? Don't write checks your body can't cash.
I imagine you could get you some.
I think I could get some?
I don't think it'd be that hard, yeah.
Right. Are you a crazy Back to the Future fan? Because
yes,
you know, a couple
crazy.
Weeks ago was the big day and everybody was talking about it. It was like it was a new movie. It was so popular.
Yeah, I think it's officially called Back to the Future Day.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and so I love that. I think it's a perfect movie, as you say.
What are the things, I think we're familiar with the word film as well, Chris. What are the things that you will buy the day they come out or line up to go see the day they're released? What are the things that you are a super fan of?
Certain albums, if it's like Beyonce or U2 or...
So that's a date that you know about unless it's a surprise release and you're like, the day that comes out, I'm buying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I'd say that and... I think that might be it.
Did you have more of a heads up on Adele than we did? It was sort of a surprise thing where she made that commercial and then all of a sudden the next day was the video and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
But we didn't have that date to look forward to. You know what I mean? Like I like surprises as well, but then there's also the anticipation of having
something. Yes, that's what they used to tell me that about visiting your grandparents, that you should call ahead about a month or so and say, I'm coming.
So you don't kill him?
No, they're not doing it
when you show up.
I don't think that's the reason either.
No, no, so that there's also pleasure in the anticipation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In other words, give old people something to live for.
Well, I look forward to things too. I know what you're saying. I get excited that an album's coming out or a film. Look at Star Wars. I mean,
yeah.
You don't tell me.
You have to tell her.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, Chris... Is there ever professional envy when you hear a record as, in my mind, perfect as Hello, just a showstopper? You hear that record one time and you go, oh, my God, that's my favorite song of the year. What's it like for you as a songwriter? Do you think I couldn't have written that, or do you think, oh, I wish I could write that? What goes through your mind?
In that particular instance, I did hear that song a while ago. We were in a studio together just listening, and when that song played, I said, get out. You've done it again.
It does seem perfect.
It's perfect. It's great.
I remember you...
But yes, I do, in answer to your question. But it's not in a nasty way. I feel that my body gets a bit frightened of like, oh, God, someone's done something amazing. I better get back to work.
I need to step it up.
Yeah.
I remember when you were in the studio just after, I think it was Wake Up by Arcade Fire.
Yes.
Was on, and you were talking about that.
That was similar, It's a good feeling, I think. I'm sure lots of people get it, where you're like, okay, someone's just raised the game. And when Beyonce put out her last album, I got that. Like, we've got to work harder and try and be good. Try and be good.
And then you gave that up and just had Beyonce on.
Oh, yes, right.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to talk about that. We will talk more about the album, which comes out December 4th. Chris Martin is here, and we'll be right back on K-Rock. If they say they're going to do a story on leeches, does that make you want to watch?
It sweeps. So.
It sweeps, yeah. Leeches might kill you or save your life. I don't know. You got to tune in at 11 tonight and find out, Kevin. Hey, our friend Chris Martin is in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's from a little band called Coldplay. Their new record is called A Head Full of Dreams, coming out on December the 4th. They're going to be playing at the Blasco Theater in Los Angeles this Friday night. You cannot buy tickets. You can continue to win them here from Kara. Chris, did you know that your friends at Tidal are going to be streaming that show, too, at Tidal.com?
Yes, I did.
He can't
be stumped.
Did you think he wouldn't know that?
You know, a lot of times people are busy. And there's a lot of details that maybe, you know, they don't catch up on. So
this is
going to
sound
sure.
really, really crazy. But the reason I know is because my friend just texted me like 2 minutes ago to say, I'm coming to the Tidal show on Friday. And I was like, oh, it must be the same.
So you didn't know until then.
The same show. So I'm so sorry.
That's pretty good timing.
Taking the surprise away.
Kevin brought up Beyonce is on the new record on a couple of songs. So you're friends with her and you're friends with Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And I know you know a lot of famous people. But
I know 12, yeah.
What's it like hanging out with Jay-Z and Beyonce? I feel like it would be
You want
magic.
The real truth?
Yeah, I feel like it would be magic.
Breakfast is served in a Grammy. You get an orange juice and a Grammy. Then someone, like a butler, comes in and does any kind of dance that Jay will be like, do a tango. And then cornflakes get served.
Does he say do a tango with anger like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they have cutlery made out of money.
Okay.
It's so weird.
All right.
Yeah, and then you get like a diamond croissant, which you'd think would be cool, but hard to chew.
Yeah,
you know what
he's
doing.
So he just throws diamonds at the window.
That doesn't sound as fun as I thought it would be.
It's weird.
It does sound like a lot of effort, I think.
And then just watch reruns of great TV appearances that Jay has done.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
Tell us about working with Beyonce.
It's very similar to what I just said. No, so Beyonce is just wonderful, as I'm sure you know. And she very kindly came in, and I said, "Is there any chance you'd do some backing vocals?"
Because you're not good enough to sing lead.
Did you lead? Wait, did you? Your question was backups.
Well, I said,
duet first, Chris? Come on, she's Beyonce for God's sake.
I was trying to be sort of English and Hugh Granty about it, and be like, "Would you possibly ever consider
maybe just?"
You know, I really want to say, would you mind singing our whole album so it sounds better? But I said, is there any chance you'd come in and help with some singing? And she said, yeah. And she was just wonderful. And she helped out on two or three songs. And, yeah, it was really incredible to watch. And we built her a little vocal booth and made a little painting for her that said she was amazing. And that's really true. Because I felt so grateful that she was, even though she's my friend, of course, you sometimes reminded of someone's talent. I was like, whoa. Beyonce's coming in. We better brush up.
Were the songs done at that point?
Yeah.
And then she came and added to
Yeah. So it was lovely. And then we had a few guests like that. And we've never really done that before in a big way.
Yeah, that was interesting for me to see. So you mentioned Beyonce. Noel Gallagher, I guess, is the other name that a lot of people are asking you about.
Yeah.
I apologize, but we have to also because we love Noel.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's the same thing. Some of the record is about trying to make dreams come true and the human's ability to fix things by coming up with cool new ideas. And one of our dreams was to have Noel play on something because we used to love Oasis so much.
Does he sing also or just play guitar?
No, he just plays this big old guitar solo.
Mm-hmm. What do you think went wrong with Oasis, Chris?
I love Oasis. I think that it's dangerous when you change the lineup of something magic, it always becomes something different. Not to say it's better or worse, but yeah.
Is it that they're brothers? Do you think that just the
I don't know. I don't know.
The fighting that goes on just naturally between brothers?
Yeah.
We're not trying to get you to bad mouth because we like them.
I only really know Noel
okay.
well. And it's hard to say. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think Kevin is right that the brothers, whatever pressure there is already in being in this creative family that is a band and working together for all those years and having to make a million decisions and agree on a lot of things, I think on top of that, you add whatever baggage is brought into the band from the time that, you know, he hit you in the head when you weren't looking when you were age four.
Right. You know, the buttons to push, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of buttons to push. And I think that you'd probably take each other for granted or, you know, have some sort of resentment. I think it would be extraordinarily difficult to do what you do in a band with your brother.
Yeah.
I think it'd be real. I mean, obviously, you know, there are success stories or people who have done it and they couldn't have been more successful. But I feel bad for them because they're both very, very talented. And I feel like Oasis was something that was so special that they can't get out from under it. They can't, no matter how great Noel's records are now, all anybody wants to ask him about is, hey, when is Oasis getting back together? Yeah. That must be a supreme drag for him, I would think.
Do you want my honest, I mean, yeah. I know we're on radio, but sure. I'll give you my serious answer if you sure. really want it. I think that a band, by its very nature, is only as good as the chemistry between the players. None of us in rock bands or whatever kind of bands we're in are virtuosos. Otherwise, we'd be, you know, concert pianists or whatever. So the only thing you have in your favor as a band is your unique chemistry. And if you're lucky enough to have a great songwriter like Noel, then those songs get fed into this weird arrangement of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the guitarist looks like this and the drummer has this kind of personality. But for some reason it works. And I feel like the great bands respect that chemistry. If you look at U2 or... I'm trying to think of someone else. But
U2's the best example because they're a band who has stayed together longer than any band.
They've now been together longer than any band ever. And you can tell, and that's why when you go and see their concert, there's not only do you have the joy of the songs, but I think as humans you have an appreciation for the relationships. And you think, God, those guys have been together since they were 15.
Yeah.
And there's power in that. Wow. Look at like U2, you know, you'd be fine on your own, but you're better together. You know what I mean? That's the end of my theory.
Oh, I like it. Your band, I'm
and
sure.
I got a side. I got a lovely side. That was very
delightful.
Sweet.
through the years, I'm sure you guys working together in your group have had ebbs and flows, but you know, you always at the end of the day go, wow, this band is really important. I want to keep doing it. And you guys work hard to make sure you can do it again.
Well, we're very lucky in that we're in about the fourth generation of big bands. And so we get to look at all these others before us. You know, we get to see, man, wouldn't it be great if the Police were still together? I wonder what this band, or you see Joe Strummer talking about the Clash saying, I wish we'd just taken a 6-month break and then not split the Clash up. So you think, all these people that split their bands up seem to wish they hadn't. So how do you navigate that?
Everybody except for one of my favorite bands, Rage Against the Machine, which they just can't, they'll play once every 10 years now.
I wish they'd be together, man.
This same.
Amazing.
Chris Martin is here. We're talking about Coldplay's A Head Full of Dreams. The new album comes out December 4th. The show is this Friday night at the Belasco Theater. Keep listening to K-Rock to win your tickets. By the way, we didn't talk about the first single that we played a few minutes ago, Adventure of a Lifetime. Yeah. It's straight up disco, Chris, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but how did it come to be that it is so dancey? More so than many of your other songs.
Yeah, I think it's just the way we're feeling at the moment. And, yes, it's just... I've got no good answer.
It's joyful.
It's joyful. That's true. Well, last year we made this record called Ghost Stories, which was very intimate and personal and small.
Not so joyful.
Well, not joyful. It was more about how to deal with difficult feelings and how to alchemize them. And part of learning that journey was at the end of it, you get to a more joyful place. And so some of that is really coming through on this album.
Is this very song representative of the album, or is it?
It's representative of the album. Quite colourful.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the only disco song, but yeah.
How are you?
To be honest with you, I really like it.
So do we.
Yeah.
And that's an unbiased opinion coming from Chris Martin. How are you as a dancer?
It makes me
Chris?
Feel happy. I'm, as a
can,
dancer,
can you shake that ass?
No, I'm an enthusiastic dancer, but not a talented one.
Right.
That's what.
What's your favorite? Old school disco song, like the one that they put
Staying
on.
Alive.
Staying Alive. Yeah, yeah. Classic.
No question.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah. That's I think, one of the all-time great pieces of work.
Do you dance to that one? When you're alone?
Not if I don't have to be alone.
How about Disco Inferno? Your thoughts on Disco Inferno?
Yes, I have thoughts on it. Right. I don't know what you're referring to.
I don't either.
I don't know how that goes.
Disco Inferno. Burn, baby, burn.
Oh,
burn,
baby, burn. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Sing it.
Yeah.
I'm not singing.
Give us a little bit of it.
I love that.
I'm not going to sing the song. All right. How's Chris time-wise? Can we take a break and come back with a little bit more, or what are we doing here?
Sure.
Chris, you cool?
I got a lot more to say.
All right. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
When are those guys going to put out a new album, you know?
Kevin, December 4th, Head Full of Dreams, new Coldplay is coming out. Chris Martin in studio with us now on K-Rock. Chris, how you doing? You holding up, Ryan?
I'm wonderful. You guys are very sweet. Thanks for having me.
You live half the time in America, half the time in the UK, and I have to ask your thoughts on Donald Trump.
What a great intro to that question.
Well, you're sure didn't see it coming.
You're here enough to watch the news. So what do you think of this nut job that may be our next president?
May I get your thoughts first?
He's a nut job that might be our next president.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we do a comedy radio show, Chris. We're prepared to see America go down the tubes if we can get some comedy. So we vote for comedy. That's how we go.
Well, I love America.
We're not trying to get you.
And I love the American dream, and I think it's amazing that people can show up here from all over the world and try and make things happen. Mm-hmm. And so if part of that is that someone's going to run for president, then I say all power to them, and, you know, I wish him all the best.
Let me ask
I don't know how to answer this.
Let me ask you a follow-up based on that. The Internet just sends everything everywhere. Are you thinking, hey, if I say something bad about Donald Trump,
for sure.
Then it's going to get
repeated? First of all, I'm not going to say anything bad about
Donald Trump. No, I know, but I'm saying, is that in your mind?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, you know, my personal taste, I love Barack Obama, but I know he can't run again. And I mean what I say about this is like the land of dreams, and people should be able to run for president.
I love that.
Give the guy a go, and, you know.
I love that his first elected position in his life might be president of the United States. That's the American dream that you're talking about. Is it literally anybody could go, hey, how about me?
Yeah.
I've got no experience. What about me? And the people will go, all right, why not? I mean, it's kind of a crazy country when you think about it.
Is this you announcing your candidacy?
No.
I'm behind you. We'll play the fundraiser.
No, you know, Bean was born in London. Oh, was it London, Bean?
Yes.
London.
Disqualifies us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you could be Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, right.
Get over to England.
Let's talk about Coldplay fans who are listening right now from all over are going to want to know some more details if you have any about the plans for 2016. You're doing this show Friday night, the K-Rock show at the Belasco. Then what's next year looking like, Chris?
Well, I think if you like Coldplay at all, then it's going to be fun for the next year or so.
How big a tour are you thinking of doing?
I think we'd like to go everywhere and play some big shows, and we've just been coming up with some cool new things to do with the production and everything. And we've got the shoes.
Right.
The most important thing is that because we didn't tour the last album, we're all kind of raring to go. And we just made this album, A Head Full of Dreams, which is very much playable live.
I was going to ask about that. You think about that as you're writing it, or do you write it and then figure out later how to play
it? Yeah, you write it.
Play it.
The music comes through in the way it wants to, and then you see what's supposed to happen to it. Like the last album didn't feel right to go and play live so much. And this one, we're like, we got it. When do we start?
For those lucky enough to be at the Belasco on Friday or watching via Tidal,
yeah,
are you going to play everything from the new album?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Back to you.
Allie, any more interview stopping questions?
No, that's okay. I'll give you more. So I think we'll play about four.
Okay.
I think we're only playing for about an hour, aren't we?
How dare you?
How are we supposed
that's
to
what
know?
I got told.
Yeah, I would think you would be more dialed in on that than we are, Chris.
I got told 12 songs, maybe 4 new ones, 8 old ones.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, are there expectations of fans coming to see Coldplay that they would be disappointed if you played all new songs? Because you have so many songs that people love.
Yeah, I don't think we would ever only play all new songs. Well, I think we just like to add to the... I'm too much of a singer to not play the popular songs as well.
Right.
Good for you, by the way.
If I see an audience and they're like, someone asks for a popular song, there's no part of me that says no. Every part of me is like, okay.
Aww. Now, I wanted to ask you, based on another interview that I saw about writing lyrics.
You
said that you were listening to Eminem's, what was it? Lose Yourself. And it made you... You just scratched your head in wonder as a lyricist.
But I think you guys were talking about when you hear another song that, you know, raises the bar. If you are open to it, there's always things around that are so inspiring by their awesomeness, and you know you could never get to that level, but it rather than making you stop, it just drives you on. And I think something like You Lose Yourself by Eminem, well, most of his stuff, just makes me think, oh, I've got to work harder on words.
Did you know he's a white guy?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, spoiler.
He's white. Eminem is white.
That's why you never see him in his videos.
He doesn't want people to know.
He's in all his videos. Being,
God, that's, you learn something new every day.
can you rap, Chris?
Yeah. I have an album dropping.
With purchase of your perfume, did you get your rap album?
Yes, I should plug my fragrance. That's really why I'm here.
What's it called?
It's called Eau de Bieber.
Ah, yeah, delightful.
It's I once walked past Justin Bieber and... I started sweating. I started sweating, and I kept that sweat. And I tried to capture that feeling of a great big pop star walking past you.
Wow!
Yeah, well, I think you'll like it.
Is it okay if I don't buy that?
You don't have to buy it. I'm going to send you a free.
I don't really
free case.
I'm good.
A free case.
All right, we're out of time, Chris, and you especially.
I was just getting going.
No, busy person. I know. Anything? Any parting words that you have for the K-Rock listeners?
Thank you for sticking with us for a few years, and we're so grateful. And I love my job, and you. Kind of, we couldn't do it without you, so thank you.
Well, you are very good at it, and as I mentioned when you sat down, you are always very kind to carve out some time for us every time you've got something new going on, so we really appreciate it, too. A Head Full of Dreams comes out on December the 4th. It's brand new Coldplay music, and again, keep listening to K-Rock for your chance to win your way into the show at the Belasco this Friday night. Chris Martin, you guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank
you,
Chris.
See you soon.
Thank you, man.